pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yeah!
You're listening to the Culture State Podcast.
Get ready.
Woo! Oh, here we go. Welcome to the Culture State Podcast. My name is Chris Lee. That is my guy, Dennis Jamel Cox. And I just want to say, Dennis, I heart you.
Aw, me? That's adorable, Chris. And I yes. love you, too. I really do appreciate that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of hearts going around in this episode. I send my heart out to everyone who's watching and listening to the Culture State Podcast this week. As a matter of fact, shout out to my really good friend, Darius Lockhart.
Yes.
And also shout out to Brett the Hitman Hart and his niece, Natalia Nide Hart. Mm-hmm. A lot of hearts going around.
And her dad, Jim the Anvil Nide Hart. Yes.
You're right. Exactly. You know, I love Valentine's Day because I just love all the hearts that are involved. Mm-hmm. Today, you will hear from Wake Forest tight end Blake Whitehart.
Oh.
But there's one heart that we have to talk about that might be the black heart of the triangle right now. And her name is Courtney Banghart.
Ah, see what you did there, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said some things, Chris. I know she's been on our podcast before, and she said some things.
She said some things there.
Not too long ago, even in our podcast, maybe before that, about the NC State crowd, the small gym, and mm-hmm. you know how they might have a little inferiority complex. Essentially, that's what she said.
People on Twitter thinking I'm placating towards her, but, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, well, there's, of course, Chris, of course, because it's Twitter and I love it. All right, so she was on the Tar Heels show with the British Tar Heels. His name is George. He's actually, is British, but he's also.
Interviewed him earlier this year. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Shouts to him.
So here is what she had to say with George. When asked about, okay, who do you like beating more? Is it Duke or is it NC State? And here's what she had to say.
Oh, gosh. It's like, you're asking me who I hate less. It's like, I guess.
If you can say that, the question normally is who do you hate more, NC State or Duke? But I didn't want to.
Instead, I just made it easy for you. Who do I hate less? That's like, who's your favorite child, right? I mean, it's like, I hate both of them more than probably I should because I don't have the history that everybody else has. Duke is a national and international rivalry that I love. NC uh-huh. State fans are so classless. I just don't even like going there, right? So I don't know. It's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Both the same?
But the same.
That's amazing.
I have more respect for Duke, but I like beating them because they're more relevant. NC State is just mean to each other, to us and each other.
That's a great answer. I love it. That's amazing.
Oh, Chris.
Well, Chris. Well, I mean, if you're talking about fighting words.
Yeah.
Listen.
I love fighting words, by the way.
Me too, man.
I love petty. Oh,
me
God.
Too. Because. Even though she just got swept by NC State this past year, she is letting it fire, and I am all for it. Like, you know, it's wow. Here's the thing that I love. I love the fact that there is at least one coach that didn't pay attention in the media training classes because they're giving us all the material that we need, and they're making the rivalry fun.
Yes. Okay, so we will clarify that. This came out, so Chris and I are recording this on Tuesday. What she said, what was released, came out Monday. Obviously, this podcast topic on a Wednesday, so this is still very, very fresh and new. Since then, she did issue an apology through the team.
She did.
Or, you know, she posted on her social media account and stuff. She's like, you know, words matter, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, I don't want your apology.
Wait a minute, should I read the apology?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and read it. Go ahead.
Okay. Just so everybody has everything together and pull it up right here. All right. She says, Coach Courtney Banghart says this, I am honored to be a part of some of the best rivalries in all of women's basketball, and I am inspired by the competitiveness that our game ignites. As a coach and a leader, my responsibility is to lead thoughtfully and respectfully. With that said, I wanted to sincerely apologize for my recent comments circulating from a podcast. While intending to keep the competitive energy fueled between two passionate fan bases, I took it too far. I carelessly used the word classless in reference to the passionate fans of NC State, and I deeply regret my word choice. It doesn't accurately depict my feelings, for one, and there's no place for name-calling. That said, I want to publicly apologize first and foremost to the players and coaches who have worked tirelessly to be great at NC State. I also want to apologize to the Wolfpack fan base. I have the utmost respect for the uniqueness of the rivalries in our state as they help our game be great. Everyone involved in my program, NC State's program, and the communities at both schools deserves better, and you will get it from me moving forward.
Chris, first of all, no, not buying any of it. Not buying a single word.
Me neither. I'm not buying it.
You already stated exactly how you felt. You already said it. So guess what?
She's throwing out shots on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
The small gym thing, when she doubled down after the small gym thing, after the loss at Reynolds Coliseum, our podcast.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, this the Tar Heel podcast with the British Tar Heel. So, yeah. Like, I don't buy it. Like, I feel the way you feel.
Yeah, exactly. You've already expressed how you feel. But guess what? That's fine. I'm okay with you feel that way. I truly am. I truly am. If you feel that way, own it.
Yeah.
Own it. Don't give me this PR. You know, wash things over, smooth it over. Because guess what? No one's buying it. No one's buying the apology. I guarantee you there's no NC State fan be like, I can't believe she said something again. Oh, she said an apology. Okay, it's all good now. No, 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 it's not. Own it. If I'm Courtney Banghart, be like, yeah, I said what I said. You know what? Here's what the apology should be, Chris. Here's what the apology should be. I'm going to lean into the heel.
Okay.
I'd like to apologize to all you NC State fans out there for being the low-class degenerates of this triangle area. You bring this place down. All of you stink. You're low-class. Heck, you're not even low-class. You're classless. You suck. Get out of here. I don't care if you've won back-to-back-to-back ACC championships. We're the Tar Heels. We own this state. You all suck. We own you. Get out of here. That's what I want the apology to be. I want her to apologize for them being so terrible. That's what I want the apology to be, Chris. Not that I feel that way, but we all know that she does.
Okay, so here's the thing. I do think she should have apologized. Yeah. And I'm glad that she did apologize. I just think that her apology was mostly sent in the wrong direction, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she mentioned the players and coaches. She didn't diss the players and coaches.
No.
She talked about the gym and the fan base. She said nothing about Wes Moore. She said nothing about Alyssa Kinane, who's not there anymore, of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, she did she did say NC State's irrelevant compared to Duke. They're irrelevant compared to Duke.
So I think as an overall athletics program, she's right.
Okay, guys, sorry for the abrupt change. Looks like everything is going down in my house right now. I have work going on in my house. You see, like, the little repair truck here. And then also, like, it looks like my internet went out for a little bit. So, so we're going to work with it like this. If you're watching, this is a crazy change. Anyway, what I was saying was that at North Carolina and NC State, like, Banghart is right. There is a little bit of irrelevance when it comes down to the national stage, when it comes to NC State. And that is okay, because NC State is trying to build towards it. Their football program is getting closer towards it. Their women's basketball program is getting closer towards it. We'll see if the men's basketball program can catch up. And I think that's also why that you have the reaction that you have, because there's a little bit of truth to what she's saying. But she should have apologized for calling the fan base classless. Like, to me, that's the actual low blow.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, like, what else did she say that was, like, necessarily wrong or bad? She just said what she felt about the fan base. That's fine. You don't have to like the fan base, but I will say this. Don't start calling names. And that's the part where I feel like she needed to apologize for.
Oh, I see. Here's the thing. I'm opposite, Chris. Give me the name calling. I want this. I want this. Because, like you mentioned earlier, it makes the rivalries and stuff better. But I'm also, I know working in media, I know we contradict ourselves sometimes. It's that we want to hear that raw authenticity from people, whether they're coaches or players. We want that raw authenticity. And yeah. we often speak about how this is something that we need from people in terms of being true to themselves and actually expressing themselves and showing who they are. But when they actually do it, we're like, well, you shouldn't say these things. Like us as me, like we can't have it both ways. This is why I'm leading into, I want raw authenticity from people. We got that. Give it to me. Like that's who you are. Own it. Like
I agree up until calling names though. Like she didn't have to call names.
That's how you feel, say how you feel. Yeah.
Like that, if we start calling names, we're going to get into a really, really like weird, icky area when it comes down to that.
I'm okay with that. Give me that, Chris.
But I am okay with people being authentic. Like she could say, like, I don't like the NC State fan base. And I that's one of the reasons why I want to stick it to them every time, because just the fans get on my nerves. And she could say that, get along with it. And there's nothing to backtrack from there. There's nothing to apologize about. She just basically said her truth. I think you start having to apologize when you take the lowest of the low blows, and that's name calling. Mm-hmm. And let's be a good example for my 5-year-old daughter. Let's be a good example for my daughter that's on the way. We don't want to do all this name calling. Like that's not what we do.
See, I'm single and have no kids, so I'm okay with all of it. I'm okay with all of it. But also, here's the thing: it's for you as a parenting thing. But like, hey, look, you see what she just did. You know, that's not okay, but she owns who she is. See, there's lessons to be learned here, Chris.
There are lessons all around.
Lean into it. Like, no. Nah,
I think there's also a lesson.
I want to hear it.
I think there's also a lesson in not being as sensitive, right? Yes. Like, you know, because,
that too.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, you have certain fan bases or certain people when something happens to them that they don't necessarily like. And people aren't showing the same outrage that they show. It's like they try to take everybody down with them. Like, yeah. Chris, you were placating towards Courtney Banghart. No, I wasn't. I think I'm in the middle enough to understand when she said the small gym comment, what she was trying to say. I got that the first time around. But I also understand how you as a fan feel slighted and there's an insecurity about being an NC State fan. So, hey, you know, you start taking everybody down with you. Like, what? Everybody's not against you. No, everybody's not against you. Let's chill out with that.
They might be, and that's okay too.
Yeah, well, that feeds your insecurity again.
Again, I will say this. I love some bitterness, like in rivalries, because I think we get too nice sometimes. We get too cordial. We're too PR'd. Like you mentioned, the media classes. It's like, say what you mean what you say.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. But we don't need the name calling. And this is where we kind of differ right here. But the name calling is the part where, I draw the line. Other than that, I love the fact because, we had something on Coach Speak before. I hate the fact that people are all about, well, it's just a process. We have to take it one game at a time. And as long as we follow the game plan, and like, that is boring. That's not why we're talking. We're not talking to you to get that. We're talking to you to hear the raw emotion. That's what sports is. Like, you know what? Those guys over there and that other color that don't wear the same color as us, I don't like them. We want to beat them so badly next week. And that's what we're all thinking about all week right now, and that's what we're working towards so we can embarrass them. Say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And own it.
Yeah.
Just don't name call. Just don't name call.
I'm for name calling. I'm for name calling, Chris.
Let's introduce this interview, Mr. Blake Whitehart. Now, we'll say this. We interviewed Mr. Blake Whitehart the day before it was announced that Sam Hartman, the quarterback for Wake Forest, would be missing some time due to a non-football related injury. So we did talk a little bit about Sam Hartman in this podcast with the interview, and he was talking as if Sam Hartman were going to play the entire season. So when you hear it like that, that's the reason why it was recorded the day before. But other than that, a lot of relevancy in this particular interview. Mr. Blake Whitehart, Winston-Salem's very own, and we talked about you too, Mr. Dennis Cox, right here next on the Culture State Podcast.
All right, another great episode of the Culture State Podcast. And this one's cool for me because I got a chance to cover this guy in high school at Mount Tabor High School and playing for Tyshawn Brown. Now he's at Wake Forest as a tight end. And his name is Blake Whitehart, one of the best names, I think, in football. But also, Blake, before we get into like everything else, just with football and everything, I want to talk about, do you think Wake Forest is being disrespected right now? They were picked fourth. You guys were picked fourth in the Atlantic Division. The last year of divisions, even though you guys just won the Atlantic Division last year, are you guys being disrespected right now by the folks who are the media, by the folks who are picking this?
I think I would like short answer yes, but I mean it's because we're Wake Forest. I mean, we're one of the smaller Power Five schools. I think we are the smallest.
Yeah, the smallest. Yeah,
the smallest. But I mean, yeah, we're disrespected, but at the same end of the day, I mean, none of that stuff really matters. I mean, you win games, your name goes up, but I mean, we feel disrespected. I know that, you know, it bothers some of the, you know, Clawson, some other guys. It does bother them, but like for us, it's not like, who cares? It's just number.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really look at that and like hold weight to that. I mean, it's nice to be respected, and that's where you want to be. But I mean, it's been a trend. I mean, as we've gotten better and better, I mean, I think we're a well-known, established program at this point.
Like, yeah.
Since Clawson's been here, he's done a great job with the program, and we've continued to get better. And our reputation, I guess, hasn't. I mean, it's progressed and it's gotten better, and you know, we're getting a little bit more respect. But you know, I don't think we'll ever be, you know, the Clemsons and the Florida States and the Louisville's and those guys. I mean, just because of the size of our school, and that's all right. I mean, I don't think our team's never been like, oh, like whatever, like yeah. We're not, you know, top 10. Let me
ask you this from this perspective, right? Like, you know, you're from Winston-Salem, went to Mount Tabor High School, and so you've had a chance to see, you know, not just playing for him, but just living in Winston-Salem, see for firsthand how Clawson has changed this program and turned it into a consistent winner. I think what, 6 bowl games in a row. That's, you know, before, you know, when he did 3 in a row, that hadn't been done at Wake Forest. Now he's really in rare territory at Wake Forest. What have you noticed from, you know, just that whole turnaround that he's had from your time being in Winston-Salem? And is that part of why you wanted to go play there?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's just a great guy. I mean, he's just an outstanding character. He tells you the truth, and the truth hurts sometimes. But you know, I'd rather have a coach, you know, who tells you the truth and where you're at and where you need to grow. And it's just that everyone at Wake Forest is there to support you and wants to see you succeed. And I think that's uncommon at a lot of other programs. Hate to say it, and the culture that he's built there is special, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to go there, because I saw the, you know, I see how they're building the program, and I wanted to be a part of something that was growing, and to see where we are now is awesome. To say I was a part of this, you know, I would say like one of the best Wake Forest, you know, string of seasons probably ever.
Yeah,
and that's him. I mean, that's his culture, the things that he's built, the things he's instilled in us. When I got there, I mean, I was just a chickling. I mean, I had no grit, no nothing. I mean, I was raw clay, and that's what he does. Is, you know, we don't get 5 stars for like 4 or 5 stars. I mean, he takes 3 stars, guys who are unrecruited, you know, this might be their only Power Five offer, and he creates something great out of them because he cares. The whole coaching staff cares, and he knows what it takes to be great, and the way he runs his program is different, but it works. And if you buy into the program and you buy into, you know, being a red shirt and learning how to, you know, be tough and understand the playbook and the importance of, you know, knowing football, not just your job, but what everyone else is doing, and just, and being consistent and persistent. I mean, those things pay off. And that's, and the thing is like, those are life skills. Those aren't just football skills.
Yeah.
And that's why he creates a successful program. He runs it like a successful business, and yeah, you know, we can take those things on into life. And I'm just very grateful that I made the decision to come here, because to, you know, to be under such a great leader like that, such a consistent man who has such a great character. I mean, it makes my job easy, you know, playing for him. So
Let's talk about, you know, I guess the greatness of North Carolina, but specifically let's come down to Winston-Salem, right? So, of course, I used to work in Winston-Salem. My co-host, who couldn't make it on today because he's doing live radio right now as we're recording this, has never really been very exposed to the city of Winston-Salem, but he hates on it for some reason. He calls it a stop on the way to Asheville. But I've told him, you know, he needs to go get some Dewey's cakes. He needs to go to like, you know, to eat at, you know, Sweet Potatoes. He needs to, you know, go down 4th Street, have a good time. Talk about what you love about your hometown, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and what greatness is there?
Dude, there's a lot of greatness. I mean, really, like, it's really overlooked. And I will say, when I was a kid, it was very different.
Yeah.
But in the last 10 years, Winston-Salem has, like, I think, exploded because there's so much. I mean, for one, there's so much history with, like, you know, it used to be, like, one of the biggest manufacturers of paints, clothing, cigarettes, whatever. So it was a huge industrial city. And then, you know, we found out cigarettes are bad for you. So then that kind of changed everything, right?
Yeah.
And so we have, like, all these buildings, just these humongous, like just random buildings everywhere. And downtown was, like, bland. And here comes all these, you know, venture capitalists who are trying to invest all this money and create all these super cool things. And like, so we have like Roar's cool, like this, you know, this whole basically complex of, you know, food, restaurants, bars, steakhouses, rooftops. Mm-hmm. It's really exploding and it's cool. And this has all happened like in the last 10 years. I mean, my parents are always like, this is the best place to live because you're 2 hours to go skiing, 3 hours from the beach. I mean, it's like, you're like right in the middle of like, everything you want, good weather, good seasons. I mean, it's a place to be, and it's growing. There's a lot of young people that are coming to Winston. I mean, and then football's good here, man.
Yeah.
So I mean, I love it. I mean, would I want to spend the rest of my life here, considering I've grown up here and went to college here? I don't know. I mean, I love North Carolina. Don't get me wrong, but it's where my family's from. Like my whole family, my dad was born and raised here. Mom's from Cali, but she's lived here most of her life, so. It's definitely home, and I'm definitely in love with it. I'm not really a homesick person.
Yeah.
But I've never really been away that much, but I think I will be because, you know, this is a special place to me, and I like being here.
By the way, your mom Tina is one of my favorite follows on Twitter. I followed her since you've been in high school, so it's cool to follow her a little bit and see what she's talking about, which basically is all Wake Forest though.
Oh, yeah, she's active on social media, man.
Yeah.
I'm a follower. She gets the inside scoop on a lot of stuff. She's a reposter and retweeter.
Yeah.
She's all about football, baby. And yeah. I love her for it.
For sure. Let's talk about the team. I know, you know, taking advantage of that COVID year has been good. So Sam is back for another year. I feel like, you know, he's been there for such a long time, but he is such a great quarterback. And I feel like he's also overlooked as a person and as a quarterback, just like Wake Forest kind of is as a team. And before we talk about him as a quarterback, though, I'm not used to him having such a sweet beard, and then now you have a sweet beard. Who has the best beard on the team?
Definitely him. Him or Spencer Clapp. He's a lineman. He's got a pretty like thick one, but I would say those two guys. I mean, no one really goes out there and like, you know, willing to take the steps. I don't have the best one, but you know, I was like, it's Cam. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to grow. So
that's more than what I can grow right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, those two guys definitely take the cake for beards because no one else really wants to venture out there. Off the deep end. So
what makes Sam so great? I know that, you know, we've seen him through the highs and lows, and usually the lows come with injuries. But when he is not injured, when he's on, when everybody's protected, when everything is going the right way, to me, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC. What do you see from him and his work ethic, and how does he make everyone on the team better?
Dude, well, yeah, I mean, he's just like a phenomenal dude. I mean, he's like he's probably one of my best friends here. Hmm. We spend a lot of time together, and his work ethic is like literally insane. I mean, I couldn't even begin to start on the things that he does daily. I mean, the way he takes care of his body, the amount of time he puts into just treatment, throwing, like, you know, he throws a good ball, but you know, the way his hip was rotated, like, wasn't good. And like his strive for perfection is really infectious. Mm-hmm. to the older guys and to the younger guys, because you just, you know, you have guys who think they're good, and then you have Sam who's like, I'm not good, but I'm chasing perfection, and that's contagious on a team. You know, you see a guy working so hard and still is like, I haven't worked hard at all. You know, doing 10 times what other guys are doing and still feels like he's done nothing. I mean, that's a statement. And he doesn't, you know, he's so consistent. He's such a consistent leader, consistent quarterback, and consistent friend. I mean, he's just an awesome dude all around. And when you have that consistency, especially that position, you know, the guy who shows up every single day and is the same dude at quarterback, I mean, that's what makes our offense so good, you know, and that's what makes him so good. I mean, when he shows up to work every day and he has the same attitude, same mentality, that makes us do the same thing. And when you see him work so hard, it makes us want to, it makes the whole offense want to work harder. You know, when he gives a pep talk, like, he can back it up. He's not just talking out, you know, on the right side of his mouth saying whatever, whatever. It's like, no, this guy's done it. And so, you know, and it goes for the defense too. I mean, he pushes those guys just as hard in lifts and practice. And I mean, he's just like an outstanding leader, and he's just so consistent. And when, like you said, when he's on, he's on. And I think he's done such a good job when he's off coming back and being back on. I mean, I think he's gotten every single year, he's gotten exceptionally better and made such huge strides. And, you know, that's hard to do at that position, to not be complacent and not just either stay the same or fall off. Every single year he's gotten better. And, you know, that's what I just love about him. He's just such a good guy, genuine dude, cares about everyone. Yeah, so.
And he's the engine that keeps everything going. You guys, Wake Forest has one of the more explosive offenses that you'll see in the ACC, and you're a part of that. So looking ahead, and I know that it's everything, it's normally like one game at a time, but I know at some point you looked at the schedule and you're like, I'm looking forward to that game right there. You're not focusing on it, you're not thinking about it, but you did say, I'm looking forward to that game right there. What game is that for you?
I think it's, I mean, from being from North Carolina, it's always the in-state games. Mm. I'm looking forward to Clemson. You know, I'm excited. This year, we're excited for the challenge. And I think, like, any big game, State, UNC, Clemson, all the ones that people got the eyes on, I mean, every game where, you know, we're trying to win, we're going to come out, we're going to bring the same people every day, you know, we're going to kick some butt. But those games, you know, it's a little extra because, you know, people are watching it, and that's what we want, you know. We want expectations high. We want people watching. You know, we want that, and we want to prove people right. You know, the people who believe in us, we want to prove them right, and the people that, you know, think we're going to get swept, we want to prove them wrong. And, you know, those in-state games and, you know, those big-time guys who got, you know, single-digit numbers next to them, we want those guys. And I feel like old Wake Forest is a little intimidated, but this Wake Forest, you know, we're chasing. You know, we're hungry for it. So definitely excited for those games. But I say that, but, you know, the only way you can get there is by winning the first game and then winning the second game. So that's what Clawson, I think, has also done a good job. Is like, he has this mentality of, like, the one-week season. I'm sure y'all hear that, like, all the time. It's kind of a cliche, yep. But you can only – it's this whole week, every single day is a process to get to that game. And that game is the test, just like studying. You study for the test, you get to the test. If you do a good job studying, you're going to ace it, right? Yep. And you can't worry about the next test. You got to worry about this one. So that's the mentality you got to have. And eventually, if you do that over and over and over for 12, 13, 14 weeks, you know, you have a championship team. So
you mentioned those in-state games. Wake Forest has a big November coming up at NC State November 5th, at Carolina at home November 12th, and then at Duke November 26th. And that's going to be a huge month, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do this season in your was this your redshirt junior year?
Yeah, this is my fifth year, but because of COVID, it's all jacked up. But yeah, technically my redshirt junior year. I get lost sometimes. I don't even know where I am sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. I really appreciate the time, and just personally, it's been good to see, you know, where you've grown from high school to now. So it's cool to get a chance to interview you right here. And of course, even though I'm in Raleigh, still going to be keeping my eyes on Winston-Salem, keeping my eyes on you, and seeing what you do and everybody over there at Wake Forest. Blake Whitehart, thank you so much. I appreciate it, my man.
Appreciate you, Chris. Thank you, man.
We want to thank Mr. Blake Whitehart for joining us for the Culture State podcast. And it's interesting to, like, cover these guys that, you know, in high school, and then you get the chance to see them grow up, grow beards, become men,
yeah.
You know, become juniors at Wake Forest University and playing football there. It's just, it's crazy, but you're definitely proud of this kid, and he's definitely going to go places for sure. And he's proudly representing Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
You know, it's interesting, Chris. I recently, you know, it's summertime. You want to get out to the western part of the state. It's much cooler. I went to Limville Gorge recently. And it's, you know, for those who don't know, it's kind of near Boone, somewhat near Asheville. So it's again, it's the western part of the state. And I had to drive right by Winston-Salem. And guess what I did on my way? I was like, I'm hungry and need to use the bathroom. Guess where I stopped? Winston-Salem. It was perfect. It was like just over halfway there. It was a great place to stop. It was wonderful. I was like, this is a perfect place to pull over. It's exactly what I did. I pulled over in Winston-Salem, got some food, used the bathroom, kept it moving. So the is a perfect, when you're coming from the Triangle, it's a perfect place to stop when you're heading out towards Boone, Asheville, my case, Linville Gorge, Grand Falls Mountain, Banner Elk, Blowing Rock, wherever you want to go to, it is a great place to stop.
The petty part of you that did that, I know you, first of all, I know you well enough to where I know you did it on purpose. And you didn't tell me about it until a moment like this so you could break it out.
Yep. Yep, exactly. But here's the thing. It was actually a perfect time to stop.
You know what? I feel like it could stop. You know what? I'm in Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
I don't stop there. Now, did you stop? Did you stop at the BP on Martin Luther King and 4th Street?
No, I did not.
Okay, good. Good. As long as you stay out of that part of the trafo, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Winston-Salem is a nice place, man. So yeah. We still have to, we didn't get a chance to do much this summer, but we got to make sure we explore. I got to take you to a Bowman Gray race at some point.
Okay, I'm in.
I don't think, you know, that'll have to be for next year, but because we've missed out on it this year so far. The summer just, we just lost the summer. It was a lot that happened.
Summer kind of flew by fast, man.
It flew by, man. It flew by fast. Yeah. Something else that's flying by fast is, well, I guess it's not flying by fast, it's going by super slow. I just want to see North Carolina and NC State play again, man. Like, yeah. Like I feel like that's going to be the hottest ticket in town, just because even people who aren't, like, I'm not an NC State or a Carolina fan, and now I want to, then that's breaking news probably to NC State fans. I want to go out there so bad, and just, I don't want to work. I don't want to be there in a working capacity. I want to be there as a fan to take it all in, to see, like, all the jeers towards the Carolina bench. And I want to see what happens at Carmichael when NC State goes to visit Carolina and what the Carolina fans are going to do. Like, I'm just interested in all of this.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm looking forward to State Carolina football game as well. That game is supposed to be, if I remember correctly, it's going to be at Keenan this season. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. Maybe we have the part two of the Wolfpack comeback like we saw last year. I don't know. We're going to wait and see. I will say it is going to be nice just when these two schools just kind of match up again, because again, we always feel like Duke Carolina is the big rivalry. And if this helps bring back more of that State Carolina rivalry on both sides, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I will say, Chris, again, I'll talk about owning how you feel, meaning what you say what you mean. Like with me with calling Winston-Salem a pit stop on the way to Asheville, I have owned that. I have not apologized. I have said what I said. And I'm doing what Courtney Bancard's not doing.
We need to take a Winston-Salem tour again. I need to actually plan this out. It needs to be like a date. I need to take you there. We need to stop by Dewey's for some cake squares. Okay. I need to take you to Sweet Potatoes to have something to eat. Okay. I think you'll like that. Right across the street from Sweet Potatoes is Learfield IMG. And then we need to go to a Bowman Gray race over there. I need to take you to like maybe Winston-Salem State's homecoming. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things to do in a trafo.
Okay.
Chick-a-trafo.
Well, Chris, I'm glad we were able to make this podcast actually finish. You know?
Yeah.
Now you had to go from inside to outside, outside to inside, back outside.
But it also shows how much our technology has gotten better, where, you know, my computer can fail. Well, my Wi-Fi can fail. My computer, I can just walk outside and do it on my phone. So,
exactly.
Yeah, but thank you guys for listening. And if you're watching, I know this is like, you know, a crazy, crazy for you to all of a sudden see my neighborhood instead of, you know, my little corner of my wall. If you please can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Chris Lee TV. He's at The Fan Rookie and at Culture State Pod. And we also enjoy 5 stars from you.
Yeah. You know what? Not just leave us a 5-star review, like support us by giving us a 5-star review. I know it's an easy thing to do, but doing that really does show us some support, and support us as well on Saturdays starting Labor Day weekend, September 3rd. We are back live on 99.9 The Fan and WREL Sports Plus TV. That's right. We're going to be on TV too, Chris, from 10 to noon Saturday mornings throughout the fall, getting you ready for the college and NFL weekend. Really just having a lot of good times. It's really what it's going to be. So, yeah, you can check us out live and support us by listening. That really does mean a lot to us. Again, support us. If you like what we do, continue to do that.
We've got faces for TV, baby. We'll see you there.
The Culture State Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, with new shows coming out every Wednesday. Download and subscribe from wherever you get your podcasts, including the WREL Sports Fan app.